here with my colleague Jonathan Schanzer, Executive Director of Secure for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Hezbollah decapitated and in a weakened state, and yet handing out money, reconstruction money, rebuilding the confidence of the people who live in the southern part of the state. Meanwhile, in Beirut, the government claims that it's free of Hezbollah, despite, I'm told, there are several Shiites in the cabinet. It doesn't look free of Hezbollah whatsoever. That would mean that the Lebanese armed forces are no more reliable today than they were a year ago. So what do we say is the result of the ceasefire in Lebanon? Has the Hezbollah bought time for itself to encourage the people to be loyal? Or has Israel bought time for itself to get ready for the next step?
I think we don't know, John. I mean, here's what I would say is that we continue to watch the Israelis strike Hezbollah targets across southern Lebanon, along the border with Syria. There are smuggling tunnels and rocket launchers and weapons caches. These things are all being struck by Israel with impunity. At the same time, what we are also watching is the formation of a new Lebanese government. Joseph Aoun, the former head of the Lebanese Armed Forces, is now the president of Lebanon. Nawaf Salam, the former president of the International Court of Justice that began to prosecute Israel for the crime of defending itself, is now the prime minister there. And there are members of the Amal party. These are allies of Hezbollah that are also included in this new government. And yet, what we continue to hear from Lebanese politicians and activists is that Lebanon is now serious about cracking down on Hezbollah. I see no evidence to suggest this right now, but we continue to hear the same things from lots of different people, even some surprising people in Lebanese political quarters, that they see this moment with Hezbollah weakened and with Israel still in southern Lebanon, with the IDF still striking Hezbollah, that this could be the moment that begins to weaken Hezbollah's grip on the country. This is the dynamic that we're watching. Very unclear right now. I don't have answers, but it is a fascinating moment indeed.
Has Iran found a way to resupply Hezbollah?
Yes, but to a far lesser extent. They are trying to bring things now by way of maritime vessels. They are trying and largely failing to bring things to the airport by way of plane. The Israelis have actually turned around a handful of identified Iranian planes. I think the question now is, are they finding other planes that they can fly in from other jurisdictions? In other words, this is forcing Iran to have to perhaps come up with other means to do the same things that they did before with, at least as we understand it, some of those smuggling routes, along the border with Syria and Lebanon. Those have been largely destroyed or shut down, at least for a time, by the Turkish-backed regime in Syria. So in short, we see things looking better on this front, but they are by no means guaranteed to remain so. I would say that this is something to watch very carefully. I'm concerned that HTS may begin to facilitate some of the smuggling again for a fee. And for those who say that Al-Qaeda and Iran don't cooperate, we know better. We've seen it dating back to 9/11.
You mentioned HTS. That's Al-Shara, used to be Al-Jalani, making a ceremonial visit to MBS. What does MBS want from him?
I don't know if MBS needs anything from him, only to say that I think the Saudis would like to have a modicum of control over what goes on in Syria. They see themselves, I think, justifiably as leaders in the Arab world. The last thing they want to see is for Muslim Brotherhood influence from Turkey and Qatar to take over the entirety of Syria. And that is really what we're watching right now. The Saudis want to prevent Iran from regaining a foothold. So I think they're engaging right now with al-Shara to see what kind of leverage they can gain. But from what I understand right now from players in the region, this Hayat Tahrir al-Sham government, HTS, led by Abu Muhammad al-Jalani, is a Turkish sanjak, if you will. This is a Turkish region Almost, I mean, there are parts of Syria right now where the lira is the currency, where Turkish officials are actually controlling the facilities that are populated by the HTS government. This is a Turkish region right now. It will be a Turkish state. It is a proxy. So I think right now the Saudis are seeing what they can do to undermine that Turkish influence. I think this could be a fool's errand.
The brain of the octopus, Iran. I'm told that the rial has touched a million for a dollar. There's nothing left of the economy. What's holding those guys up?
Well, continued smuggling of oil to the likes of China and Russia is what they're is essentially keeping them going, not to mention the raft of front companies that they use to funnel funds from Latin America, from sub-Saharan Africa and East Asia and beyond. So the Iranians still have a very functioning illicit economy. But whatever is seen, whatever is known and identified by the U.S. Treasury is now under severe pressure, as we called it before, the maximum pressure campaign launched by the Trump administration first go around. It has returned and it has had an immediate impact on the Iranian rial. But I think it is also having a psychological impact right now on the regime itself and perhaps the people. And that's the most important thing. If the people believe that there is no way out of this economic challenge, they may yet rise up against the regime. And that is exactly what we want to see.
And is Russia doing anything to sustain Tehran? We have 30 seconds.
Russia always does, continues to provide diplomatic support in the UN and other multilateral ways, but also engaging in open trade with the Iranians for oil, buying some of their weapons. This is an ongoing relationship that we must break up.
Jonathan Shanzer, Executive Director of Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.